All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 for the message today. Thank you, Gina. I think she ought to just loosen up a little bit, don't you? Yeah, she's so hard to hear. Yeah. That was good. Thank you. All right, I want to read just one verse this morning. It is a familiar verse. It's one that probably most everyone in this room has memorized, be my guess. And that's verse 23, the last verse in this chapter. And Paul says to the church there at Rome, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is such a wonderful verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Salvation Truths. Salvation Truths. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for the beautiful music we have heard and the congregational singing, which was so full and powerful. And Father, thank you now that we have the opportunity to open your eternal word and look at its eternal truths. And Father, as we look at this verse, I pray that you will bless it to our hearts. I pray that the message will produce fruit in our lives. And Father, just help us to better appreciate and better understand our salvation. We are a thankful people for all your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this is one of those verses that probably just about everybody in this room knows by heart. This is a verse that we learn whenever we take instruction here to church on the matter of soul winning. When you, if you sign up and take the Soul Winners Club program, where we show you how to win someone to Christ, this verse is right in the middle of it. And we ask all of our folks to memorize it and be able to quote it by heart. Now, I was thinking as I was preparing the message just how many times through the years I have quoted this verse or used this verse. And there is no way I could ever know that. But I refer to it often while I am preaching. And of course, you know, to use the verse when you're witnessing to someone and sharing the gospel with them. I've used it over and over and over and over, as I'm sure many of you have. Now, what I want you to notice this morning, one thing before I actually get to the message, I want you to notice that this is a verse of great contrast. This is a verse that just has three contrasts in it that I want to call to your attention and have you think about before I actually get to the message. First, we see the word wages, which is, of course, something that we earn. We earn wages. And the word wages is placed against the word gift. And there are two different things entirely. Wages and a gift. All right? They're two different things completely. A gift is something that we do not earn. All right? Wages are things we earn. We work, and then whoever we work for pays us wages. But a gift is something that we do not earn. It is freely given to us with no strings attached. Then second, there's another contrast that we see in this verse, and we see this contrast between sin and God. Sin and God. You see, wages are what we earn, but it is the wages of sin that brings us the trouble and the problem. But notice, the gift is from God. The gift is from God. And remember, you don't earn that. It is a gift. If I were to say to you, I want to give you a gift, and then I hand you a $100 bill. Don't get your hopes up, John. I beat you to it. All right. If he's going to sleep, just let him sleep. All right. That's fine. But you might say, well, what do I have to do to get this $100? Well, that's just it, folks. I'm giving it to you. You don't have to do a thing for it. If I asked you to do something for that, it would no longer be a gift. It would be wages. And so the contrast, I think, should be quite clear to everyone. If we had to work for it, if we had to do something for it, then it would no longer be a gift. But the gift of salvation that God gives is not anything that any of us can earn. You cannot earn it. It's a gift. It is freely given to us by the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." All right, so you can't earn it. There's no way that you and I could ever earn our salvation. It is a gift. Someone has wisely said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And it certainly is. We all get saved the exact same way, and that is through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a third great contrast in this verse, and that is the contrast between death and life. Death and life. You see, sin brings death, but God's gift brings life. Sin yielded a fruit. When Adam and Eve sinned against God and man became a sinner, that sin yielded a fruit, and that fruit is called death. Someone will say, oh, this is a matter of life or death significance. Yes, yes. And the truth is, you are either accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or you are rejecting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And folks, that decision that you make concerning the gift, that truly is a matter of life or death. It's a decision that everyone has to make. Now, the most important decision that you will ever make in your life is, are you going to accept that wonderful gift that the Lord has provided for us? Or are you going to choose sin, or are you going to choose God? Which is it going to be? And we all have that decision to make. Are you going to choose death, or are you going to choose life? So let's take verse 23, and let me show you just a couple of salvation truths from this verse. I think there are three very important things found in this verse about this wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus has provided for us with his death, burial, and resurrection. All right, first, I want you to notice the need for salvation. The need for salvation. You see, there is a reason why we need a salvation provided for us. And I want you to notice what that need is. The verse says, for the wages of sin is death. Right there is our need. We have death hanging over our heads. Death follows us everywhere we go. And if you're here today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, death is but a heartbeat away. That's right. Oh, I'm not talking about physical death. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm talking about spiritual death. And boy, you don't want to open that door because you can't get it shut once it's opened. It's an eternity paying the wages of your sin. You see, sin pays, but you do not want the kind of pay that it offers. Sin pays, but you don't want that kind of pay. Because we learn here that the wages of sin is death. Now, folks, this is a real problem for all of us. You say, well, why so, Pastor? Well, because all of us are sinners. We were born that way. We came out of the womb sinners. Sinners against God. You ever notice that you don't have to teach a child to do wrong? You have to teach them to do right. They know how to do wrong. It was bred into them. You said, well, who would do such a thing? You. That's who would do it. You said, wow, preacher, I know how wicked my heart is. Yeah, multiply that now, and that's what you got when you gave birth to a child. And it doesn't take them long to show you that, does it? Did you do that? Nope. I've told you all before, I walked in the kitchen and there was Joshua, had the refrigerator door open. And when he heard me coming, I could hear the lid going back on the jelly jar. And in the refrigerator he went and he slammed the door. And I said, what are you doing? Nothing. I said, well, you're doing something. Nope. He had jelly all around his mouth. I mean, at least, you know, don't eat like a pig. You know what I mean? You're just giving yourself away. Now, why do they do that? Because they're sinners. They're sinners. And that's what sinners do. They sin. And so they inherited our sin nature. And that's why they do what they do. Somewhat frightening, isn't it? Huh? It is. It's somewhat frightening. All of us are sinners, and sin pays, but trust me, you don't want what it pays. You just don't want it. So by the time we hit 50, 60, 70, 80 years of age, wow, boy, there's a lot of wages that we owe, isn't it? Huh? A lot. Yeah. We've got this record of sin that started when we were just a tiny baby before we even knew what we were or where we were or who we were. We're sinners. We're born that way. And so by not accepting God's wonderful gift, all of us will one day end up in an eternity in hell paying the wages that we owe for our sin. It's just that simple. I know folks don't like to hear that, but nonetheless, that's the truth. Now, let's think about this little word death for just a moment. Let's think about that little word death. I want to do a quick little Bible study with you on this word, and we'll run the word death through the Bible. All right, let's go back for just a moment now to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and go back for a moment to chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to show you the first time we see this word connected to sin. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Everybody got it? All right, look at you, if you will, at verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man," that's Adam, "took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So he had a responsibility in the garden. He was to prune the trees. He was to keep it neat. He was to take care of it. All right, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man." Now notice, this is not a suggestion, all right? This is not a suggestion. And by the way, the Ten Commandments, they're not suggestions either, all right? And somebody needs to tell those Democrats down in Annapolis, "Thou shalt not murder." God means that. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now watch this. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely," what? "Die." There it is. There it is. You see, right off the bat, before man ever sinned against God, God told Adam that if he were to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he would be disobeying the word of the Lord. And God told him, "Adam, the day you eat of that, dying, thou shalt surely die. Dying physically, thou shalt surely die spiritually." And folks, that's why we die physically today. And if we die physically without the Lord as our Savior, then we also die spiritually and have to spend all of eternity in an awful place that God, by the way, did not prepare for you and for me. No, he prepared that place for the devil and his angels. But if we don't get saved from our sin, if we don't accept the Lord's this wonderful salvation that he has provided, then God has no choice but to make us pay for our own sin. So God told him, if you disobey and sin, Adam, you will die. The wages of sin is death, very clearly. And God told him right here. Now, folks, think about this. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the Garden of Eden, the whole earth would be a Garden of Eden. All right? We would not be freezing to death in the middle of April. All right? We would not be shoveling snow in January. We would not have to work for a living. That sounds good, doesn't it? We would not have to work. Ladies, you would not have labor in childbearing. So there are all kinds of problems that came about because Adam chose to sin. But folks, dying, thou shalt surely die. Now, let's take our Bibles and go over to the book of James for just a moment in the New Testament. All right, we see now our text verse, for the wages of sin is death. Same thing that was said in Genesis 2. But now go over to the book of James. And I want you to look, please, at chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse, 15. Verse 15, chapter 1, book of James, verse 15. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. There you go. All right? So, sin, when it's completed its work on us, then we die. We die. I mean, the wages of sin is death. All right, now go over to the book of the Revelation for just a moment, chapter 20. All right, let's go to the last time that this word is discussed. And if you look at chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation, then look down, please, at let's start at verse 11. The Bible says, and I saw, I'm sorry, are you there? Yeah. All right, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, I personally think that the books are the 66 books that make up this Bible. In other words, we're going to be judged out of the Word of God. It's not my opinion, it's not your opinion that we're going to be judged by, but it is the written eternal Word of the living God. And so he says very clearly here that the books were opened, the Bible, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now watch this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Do you see that? This is the second death. You say, well, Pastor, what's the first death? Physical death. But you will notice that they are cast into the lake of fire. And that is the second death. That is the eternal death where man is sent to pay the wages that he owes for sin. And here's the bottom line, folks. Somebody has to pay your sin debt. It'll either be the Lord Jesus with his death on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, or you're going to pay it yourself. But somebody has to pay your sin debt. It's just that simple. Somebody has to do it. All right, now, look at the next verse, verse 15. It says, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, folks, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, God said to man, to the first man, don't disobey me, Adam. Don't disobey my word. But he did. And when he did, he became a sinner. That's why when they heard God coming in the cool of the day, they went and hid themselves in the garden. And God came through and said, hey, Adam, where are you? Oh, God knew where he was. But he wanted Adam to come to him. God was a seeking Savior. Man was a shrinking sinner. It's always that way. The Lord is always coming after you and me. He's always coming for us. There is none that seeketh after God, Paul said. I've ridiculed before when somebody says, oh, I found God. No, you didn't. God found you. You didn't find God. God wasn't lost. You were lost. Amen. So God said, the wages of sin is death, Adam. The wages of sin is death. And sure enough, now, Adam found that out. So because of sin, folks, each and every one of us has a great need. And that need is salvation for our souls. Second thing I want you to notice, the nature of this salvation, the nature of it. Oh, I like this phrase. The gift of God is eternal life. The salvation described in this verse, I think, has three aspects to it. And this is so simple, so obvious. But that is the way God designed his wonderful plan of salvation. God doesn't hide his salvation from us. God doesn't say, hey, you folks go look for it. I hope you find it. No, that's not what he does. God puts it right out there so all of us can see it. First of all, it's full. It's full. We're talking about the nature of our salvation. And first of all, that salvation is full. Notice to describe the nature of God's salvation, the Apostle Paul said, it is life. Life. And folks, there is no life that is any fuller than the eternal life which is freely given to us when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus said these words, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, the Christian life has been an abundant life for me. I don't know how it's been for you, but it's been an abundant life for me. I have a wife who loves me, or so she says. And I love her. I have three children, and they love me. Go figure. And then I have eight wonderful grandchildren, perfect grandchildren, I might add. And I love them to pieces. I just love them to pieces. I get to pastor the greatest church in America, the Church of the Open Door. It just doesn't get any better than that. I have literally preached the gospel around the world. I have seen thousands and thousands of people saved in those trips to foreign soil where God gave me the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I may drop dead tomorrow. I'm not planning on it, but I may drop dead tomorrow. But if I do, it has been a wonderful, abundant life here. Just absolutely glorious. And so when I get to heaven, if I die, I'm going to get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to look back and say, man, that was rich. That was quite the experience right there. That was quite the experience that the Lord gave me on the earth. And it's a full salvation that the Lord gave me when I got saved. Amen. You see, I not only have friends here, I've got loved ones that have gone on before. I've told you in the past that I believe after 26 and a half years, I believe that we have a larger church in heaven than we do down here. They're all waiting on us. My mother's there. My mother passed away 47 years ago, I think it is, today, April the 10th. I can't wait to see her again. I can't wait to see my grandfather again. What a glorious place heaven is going to be. So it's full. Secondly, it's free. It's free. That's the nature of our salvation. Folks, you don't have to do a thing to get it. It's free. The price has already been paid. The Apostle Paul said that God's salvation is a gift, and gifts are free. If someone's going to freely give you a gift, you'd be crazy to try and pay for it. Let's suppose we go to the Ark out in Kentucky, and so we get out there and you look at me and you say, "Well, Pastor, where are we going to sleep tonight?" And don't worry, I made reservations. "Oh, you did? Yeah. Well, how much?" And I said, "Well, don't worry about it. I paid for it. Don't worry about it." "Oh, but Pastor, I got to pay you for that." No, you don't. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. Don't pay me. "But Pastor, I insist." No, I'm not going to take it. You see, if I take it, then it's no longer a gift. And so why in the world would anybody want to say to God, who gave his only son to pay our sin debt, "Oh, no, God, no, thank you. I'm going to earn my own way to heaven." No, you're not. You can't. You see, if you're going to earn your way to heaven, here's what you got to do. And you can't do any of it because it's too late. But here's what you got to do. You've got to be virgin born. You can't do that. You can't go back and be unborn and then be born to a virgin woman. You cannot do it. It's impossible. But Jesus did it. Jesus took care of that for us. You have to live 33 and a half years on this earth without sinning even one time. Good luck. Good luck. Man, you can't get up in the morning without... All right, let me rephrase that. I can't get up in the morning without... I hate getting up. I hope when we get to heaven, we either sleep all the time or we just stay up all the time, because I don't like getting up. You'd have to live 33 and a half years and never sin once. Then you'd have to go over to Jerusalem, to Mount Calvary, and be nailed to a cross. Now, I don't think anybody in here wants to do that. And then when you shed your blood on that cross, you'd have to be taken down and placed in a borrowed tomb. And then on the third day, you would have to resurrect from the dead so that you could save yourself. Now, folks, I've been in the ministry for a long time. I have done thousands of funerals through the years. Not one time have I ever gone to the cemetery and watched as they lowered the casket and whoever we lowered in come out. Not once. Not one time. Why? Because you can't. It's impossible. So that's what you'd have to do. You say, "Well, I'm going to get baptized." Why would you mock God by saying, "God, your salvation is not good enough. Your free salvation is not good enough for me. I'm going to get baptized so I can go to heaven." Well, that's just foolish. And it's not going to work. God, I'm not going to take your way. I'm going to join the church. Well, you can join every church in America and you're still going to spend eternity in hell because church can't get you to heaven. The wages of sin is, and somebody has to pay your sin debt, either Jesus or you. Everybody understand that? That's why it's free, folks. Salvation does not cost you or me a thing. All we do is accept it. And the salvation that God provided, while it's free to us, it cost him his most precious thing, and that was his son. That's the good thing about God's salvation. You don't have to do any of these things to get to heaven because the Lord Jesus has already done them for you. Amen. Amen. Then lastly, quickly, it is forever. Paul said God's salvation is eternal life, eternal. That means it'll never end, never end. Now, my friend, reject God's salvation and you end up with eternal death. So, that's not a hard choice, is it? Eternal life or eternal death? Not a hard choice. And then one more thing I want you to see. I want you to see the name in salvation. The name. If you look at the text verse, it says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the name involved in salvation is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation's through him. Amen. Several years ago when I first came here as the pastor, there was a preacher down in Richmond, Virginia, and I did not know this fellow, but he came to the Sword Conference, and he asked and he heard me preach at the National Sword Conference, and so he called and said, we've never met, but I was at the Sword Conference, and I'd like to know if you come down preach for me on a Monday and Tuesday in my church. I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to. So I said, if you will, just email me, please, the information, and then I'll put it down in my book and I'll be there. So he emailed me the name of the motel where I was staying in Richmond. All right. Didn't email me, the name of the church, just emailed me where I was staying. And of course it had his name on the bottom of the email, which I forgot. And so when I left here, I wrote the name of the motel down on a piece of paper. That's all I had. And I went to that motel, drove down and went to that motel. And when I walked in, the man said, can I help you? I said, yes, I have a reservation. He said, what's your name? So I told him, and he went through there looking at the computer all confused, and he said, sir, I don't have you down as a room reserved. And I said, this is the motel that he told me. Who's he? I said, the pastor of the church. I said, I'm here to preach in a church tonight and tomorrow night, So he told me this was the motel. He said, well, what's the name of the church? I don't know. He kind of looked at me funny, but, I didn't know. He said, well, I'll tell you what's the name of the pastor? Man. I said, sir, I don't know that either. Well, about that time, three or four other folks came in. He said, could you just have a seat right over there? And I'll go through the computer here just as soon as I get these folks checked in. So I went over, sat down, just waited impatiently. I mean, patiently. And so I, after about 20 minutes, he said, all right, sir, come on up and let's see what we can do. And so I got up and walked to the desk, and he said, all right, he said, let's see what we can find here. And he said, a church, huh? I said, yeah. He said, and you don't know the name? Nope. Nope. And you don't know the pastor's name? Nope. But you're sure you got a reservation? Yep. He said, and it's not in your name? I said, nope. So he kept looking. And finally he said, well, it could be one of three options here. And I said, okay, tell me. And he gave one name. I said, nope, never heard that name. He said, here's the other name. I said, nope, never heard that name. And he gave a woman's name. And I said, well, I know it's not a woman. There's no way a woman made the reservation. And he said, hold on just a second. And he said, let me just make a phone call. So he made a phone call to the first person. And they said, no, our person is coming in about 8:00 tonight. Made a phone call to the second number and said, no, our person's not going to be there until about 7:30. And so he looked at me and he said, guess who's left? I said, I would have no idea. He said, the woman. I said, oh, okay, well, call her. So he called, and come to find out, it was the church secretary. And for some reason or another, when they took the reservation, they put it in her name. And so there I was trying to get into the hotel with the wrong name. And folks, if you try to get into heaven without the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forget it. You can't get in. You're going to hear at this great white throne that we read about a moment ago what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, depart from me, I never knew you. Wouldn't that be awful? Man, you never get over those words. So let's trust the Lord that he knows what he's doing. Let's trust the Lord that he provided that salvation. He knew exactly what we needed, and he provided it, and it's free. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to think about your own soul here for just a moment. Think about your own soul. I don't want you thinking about somebody else. I don't want you thinking about church. I don't want you to think about your baptism. I want you to think about one thing, and that is your eternal soul. Do you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Do you know that? And if you know that, would you testify that you know that by raising your hand and let me see it? Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much. God bless you, folks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Well, that looked like everybody, but, you know, I could have missed someone. So let me ask this question. And, dear friend, listen, I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I would like to pray for you. If you're here and you could not raise your hand with everyone else, would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. I am not 100% sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I want you to pray that I will get saved before it's too late. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Just hold your hand up where I can see it and let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure. Anybody else? How about over on the piano side? Pastor, pray for me. All right, Father, you know our hearts today. You know our needs. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will bless what's been said to each and every heart. And Father, help us to understand this wonderful salvation that you provided for us. It is free. It is full. Father, you paid the price for it. And I just pray you'll help us to understand the contrasts that are found in this verse. And now for this one hand that said, I'm just not 100% sure. Father, may today be the day of salvation for this soul. I pray that in a moment when we stand to sing, that this person will step out and come to the front. Let someone take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know that they're going to heaven. So, Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.